Welcome to Your Lot and Parcel Podcast with your host, Benjamin Diaz, designed strictly for you, the consumer. You will find that this platform has your best interests at heart.
This is yours truly, Benjamin. Thank you for joining me. When you listen to his music, it is easy to visualize him as a boy running around barefooted during the Depression. All this in a rural southern town causing trouble, and while learning the life lessons that inspired his simple yet profound folk music, rock, blues, and that unique country tune. His boyhood home is furnished as it appeared when the Catch family lived there, based on the memories of Johnny's two youngest siblings who assisted in the restoration. Now owned by Arkansas State University, the house has been restored along with several historic federal buildings. Let's now invite the director of this historic landmark, Penny Toombs. You know, the iconic country singer Johnny Cash, many believe, and so do I, that his core values on family and his concerns for his fellow man comes from where he grew up, and that's in Dyce, Arkansas. And I'm glad to have Penny on our show today to help us appreciate where he grew up in the historic landmark known as his home. So before we get into that topic, Penny, please tell us a little bit about yourself and the organization you represent.
Sure. My name is Penny Toombs. I'm the director at the historic Dyce Colony, Johnny Cash Boyhood Home here in Dyce, and also the Southern Tenant Farmers Museum located in Tyronza. That's about 15 miles down the road. We're a part of the Arkansas State University Heritage Sites. Dr. Adam Long, our executive director, he oversees four locations, two of which I just named, and the other two are the Hemingway Pfeiffer Museum and Educational Center in Piggott and the Lakeport Plantation in Lake Village.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. That's great. I know this takes us back to the 30s, and of course, the 30s was somewhat tumultuous in regards to, I think, in terms of the Depression and so forth. But I understand that it was a social experiment by President Roosevelt, and it was unprecedented. And so let me ask you, what was this thing called New Deal? How did this come about, if you can tell us about that?
Sure. Well, Dyce Colony was established back in 1934 as a federal agricultural resettlement community under the WPA, Works Progress Administration. Mm-hmm. The colony was actually named after a Mississippi County, which is a county we're in, native, and Arkansas's first WPA administrator, William Reynolds Dyce, which is an interesting story. He was born in 1894, moved to Dyce in 26, and took a job for a construction company, made his way up, and he had an idea to plan for a colony of small farms and in the shape of like a, you can imagine a wagon wheel, where you have the center that has it like the administration building, the commissary, everything you need. And then shooting out from that, like the spokes of the wheel would be these 20 acre plots with houses. So he got in touch with Harry Hopkins, and they at first, who was the federal relief administrator, I should add. They first had a name for it that was Colonization Project Number One. So that was the original name on 16,000 acres here in Mississippi County. Well, they kept working toward it. They got the government assistance. And then the first 13 families arrived in October of 34. In 36, there was the dedication on the second anniversary. And but unfortunately, before that time, Mr. Dyce passed away in a plane crash. So there's where the name comes from, Dyce Colony. They named it after him. Which is sad because he never got to see his work accomplished, but, you know, a very nice thing that they did name it after him. First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt actually visited a couple weeks after the dedication and stood on the colony steps of the administration building. We have a picture of that, and that building is still here. So it's a surreal moment to stand there thinking that she was there as well, giving her speech. That's the beginning of Das Colony.
Interesting. You indicated about 20 acres, 40 acre parcels of ground. Is this still, would you consider it still agricultural out there? Because I've never been to your location there.
Yes, definitely.
Pretty much.
Now the crop has changed during that time in the 30s, cotton was the crop. It's what the Cash family would farm now, because our land is called gumbo. I don't know if you're familiar with gumbo or not.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gumbo land. So it doesn't raise cotton very well. So now mostly we have rice and soybeans. Okay. In this area.
So that's generally the main of that county is agriculturally driven. I understand that.
Yes.
Well, that's great, because I can relate to that, Penny. I am a farm boy. I grew up in a farm, farm/ranch, you know, kind of thing out here in California. And I have a soft spot for farming. I really appreciate it. In fact, not too long ago here, we did an episode on the Dust Bowl. And this is right in the throes of all that, what's happening here, the Depression and so forth. So this is how the Cash family come to be in Dice, Arkansas. Can you speak about his parents? His parents and siblings, if you would.
Sure. There were 500 colonist families that were going to be taken in from counties all over the state of Arkansas. There was an application process. There was an interview. There were questionnaires, which we have some of in one of our exhibits. Very interesting questions now. When you wouldn't get by with that these days with some of the questions, but Ray and Carrie Cash were selected to move here as one of the families. So they moved to Dice in March of 35 from Kingsland, which is where Johnny was born. They had their five kids. Roy was 13, Louise 11, Jack was 5, JR, which is Johnny, we know as Johnny, was 3, and Reba was 1. While they lived in the home, they did have 2 additional children, Joanne and Tommy, who were born in Dice.
Very good. Now, you said Johnny, his name was JR, I believe that was the custom, I believe, of initials, right? In lieu of an actual name. Am I correct on that?
Well, I will tell you, his parents, they didn't agree on a name. So they compromised on JR, and it wasn't until he joined the Air Force that they wouldn't take initials. So he came up with John R. Cash, and then when his music career began at Sun Studios, he took the name Johnny Cash.
Interesting. Because I have met folks from that era years ago, you know, and there's a TJ and, you know, just all kinds of different initials, you know.
Yes.
And I'd ask them, well, what does that stand for? Stands for TJ.
Exactly what it is.
So give us some biography on this man in black. As far as I know, he grew up in the area there. Tell us a little bit about this man.
Okay, well, I'll tell you a little bit about the house that they grew up in. Interesting. They built 3, 4, 5 bedroom houses, depending on the size of the family. The Cash family had a 5-room house, which had 2 bedrooms, each with 2 beds, living room, dining room, and kitchen. And it's really larger than what I expected when I first went in the house. Nice little house, which you consider all the kids that live there and the parents. I'm sure it got very crowded, but it was a nice home. They, just a little side note here, they were able to purchase the farmstead in 38 for $2,183. So that kind of a neat thing that, you think of, they were able to get that that home for that amount of money. But Johnny grew up here, graduated from the high school here in Das, and he was really close to his brother, Jack. Matter of fact, he referred to him as his best friend. Mm-hmm. Jack was going to be a preacher. Matter of fact, in the boys' room, one of the beds that Johnny and Jack shared, there is a picture frame with a cross in the middle, which is original to the home, that was hanging on the wall, which was significant to me because of Jack and wanting to be a preacher. There was an accident that happened, though, with Jack. He was working on a high school ag project when the saw blade that he was using slipped, and it cut him. He was in the hospital for 8 days here in Dice before he passed away. Of course, you can imagine this had a huge impact on Johnny. And, I mean, I believe it greatly influenced the man he became and the music he created.
I think so.
You know, he was known as the man in black, still is known as the man in black. And most people assume because he was, you know, had his rowdy days, and he certainly did. But if you ever listen to or read the lyrics to the song Man in Black, it'll tell you why he wears black. I have the poem version of that on my wall here in the office, and it just reminds me, you know, he says he represents those who do not have a voice. So he was just such a caring man with a huge heart. He wanted to help those who felt helpless. You know, he had his prison shows that he did. He didn't serve time in prison. He served a night or two here or there, but he never did time. He just went and did concerts there. He would play for the prisoners. He would talk to them. Matter of fact, he made a friendship, a couple of friendships, but one was Merle Haggard. When Merle Haggard was in jail, and then when Merle got out, contacted Johnny, and then, well, you know, what happened with his career. So, you know, his life and his upbringing here played a huge role in the person he became and the music that he created.
Yes. Good. Merle Haggard, well, he's from my area here, actually. And he grew up in this area where I'm at. And yeah, there's a lot of country, not to mention Buck Owens, incidentally. Yeah, I'm in Kern County. That's about 100 miles north of Los Angeles. We are chatting with a lovely Southern lady from Eastern Arkansas in the town of Dice. And she is talking to us about the man in black, his boyhood home, his family, and the experiences that had a profound impact on his life. Let's get back with the director of the boyhood home where this country music legend grew up. Here she is, Penny Toombs. But yeah, I can see some of his experiences had a profound effect on him. I understand that he helped bury his brother Jack when he was 12. It's just hard to imagine. I mean, the emotions there. Of course, eventually, you said he went to school there and graduated there in Dice, and then he went to the Air Force, I guess, right? Can you speak to that?
Sure. In 1950, he graduated, and then he went that summer and enlisted in the Air Force. He went to Texas for training, which is where he met his first wife, Vivian. They would write while he was stationed for 4 years in West Germany. He was a radio intercept officer, and he was very good at his job. And it was actually in West Germany where he purchased his first guitar while he was there. So after his discharge in 54, he came back and married Vivian, and then they moved to Memphis.
There you go. And did any siblings get involved with music at all?
Oh, yes. There's They did. Joanne and Tommy both pursued musical careers. We have their CDs in our gift shop, matter of fact. Also, two of his children, John Carter Cash, who was the only child of June and Johnny. Mm-hmm. He's a singer, songwriter, producer. His wife, Anna Christina, is in the business as well, has a beautiful voice. And then you have Roseanne.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
One of the four girls that Johnny had with his first wife, Vivian. The other sisters, Kathy, Cindy, and Tara. Of course, Roseanne and her husband, John Leventhal, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but mm-hmm. they both sing, play, write, and produce. The family is just blessed with talent. Now they have what would be Johnny's grandchildren that are getting into the business that are, that are talented as well. I've actually had the pleasure to meet most of those family members that I've mentioned, and just they are just some of the sweetest, down-to-earth people. It's relieving to meet folks who care about this place, about the Boyhood Home, about Dice, and about keeping it, restored and getting the word out there. They really know what it would mean to their dad and what it means to them when they come back and go through the house. So, mm-hmm. I've just really been impressed with his family.
Yes, yes. I've come to appreciate, Penny, that any time an individual has an interaction with the earth, the soil, mm-hmm. It is a humbling effect, and it yes. does affect you in a way that you're able to relate with things and even become it lends itself to being a philosopher. I understand that he was also a novelist. He was a writer. What can you tell us about
yes. that? Oh, yes. Yes. One of my favorites mm-hmm. is his book, Forever Words. It's a book of poetry that he had written. He had written poems, and after his passing, his mm-hmm. son, Carter Cash, put this together in a book. It has a collection of his poems, and it also has images of his handwritten poetry. In one of my favorites, if you don't mind, I want to read you just a little bit of it. I pulled it here. Mm-hmm. It's "You Never Knew My Mind" from 1967. "Because I know you feel the way I change, but you can't change the way I feel. Sometimes I'm a stranger to you, one of a kind. I think some way you'll make it, though you don't know how to take it. You can't deal with how I'm thinking, because you never knew my mind." Mm. That's just part of it, but
yes.
There were some country artists that took the lyrics to some of these songs to the poems and turn them into a song. The one I just read, Chris Cornell, he put this to music, and it's one of the most beautiful songs. His poetry is here. He's such a gifted man. He also has an autobiography. He's very talented. Another one that comes to mind is The Man in White. It's a novel about the Apostle Paul. So he mm-hmm. had his religious, it's almost mm-hmm. like this side of him and then another. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, that was his spiritual side. He was very complex as a man. There's a lot of complexity there. And
yes.
he was a thinker. And I think it goes along with that. Those poems there, essentially a poem is a song. Mm-hmm. And so he had that in his heart. Now, let me ask you, you spoke about his home. Are there other buildings, original buildings in the area that if someone was to come and visit? Any other buildings?
Oh, sure. Uh-huh. We have in our tour, we have the buildings that have been renovated. Here, the one that I'm in, that I'm stationed in, is the visitor center. It's the old theater building.
Mm.
Actually, part of it was the old pop shop and then part the theater. So it has been renovated and we have turned it into gift shops. We still have original items. We have a projector that Tommy Cash actually had worked in the theater. And he engraved his name on the projector, which I think is pretty funny because, you know, he never thought it would end up on display. And Johnny had actually sold popcorn here in the theater. So, next door, we have the administration building, which is beautiful. It's such a pretty building. And it has been renovated as well. The administration building houses 4 exhibit rooms, 2 designed especially for the Cash family. City Hall is in one section. And then the second floor has a space for traveling exhibits. So we have those 2 buildings. We also have the archive building, which we just finished renovating. It was originally a gas station. Mm-hmm. That was Gene Williams' home. And now it is our research center, so folks can come here and look at our archives and just conduct their research on this location and Southern Tenant Farmers. And then, of course, we have the house. We actually have a shuttle bus that takes people out to the house because it's about a mile and a half away.
Are you open because of the COVID things kind of slow down a little bit? What are things looking for you at this point?
Yeah, we are open back to our normal hours of Monday through Saturday. We give tours on the hour starting at 9 o'clock, and our last one leaves at 3. It's things that we're picking up in the summer, even picked up some in the fall. They've started to slow down a little bit now, you know, winter time they normally do. So,
Well, that's great. I'm in California, as I indicated, Penny. So if I was to come by, I would fly in where? How would I get there, if you don't mind?
Sure. You would fly into Memphis.
Yeah, okay.
And we're just about 45 minutes, an hour away from Memphis. So come in on 55. And we have an exit. There's a sign that says Johnny Cash Boyhood Home, exit 41. And you just follow it along. It's a great place to see people that come here. We get, of course, Johnny Cash fans. Every once in a while, we'll just get the folks interested in the history. But we get, people coming in. Oh, I want to see where Johnny Cash. Can we just do the house? And we'll say, well, it's part of the tour, but just let us show you. And I mean, almost every single time, people are just blown away about the history of it all and the history, not only of his family, but the other families and, like the 27 flood, stock market crash, 37 flood. I mean, we have pictures, information about all that and what these people went through. It's just
The 30s, they were very difficult, right in the throes of everything there, the depression. And I can appreciate that. Let me ask these buildings and, of course, the Johnny Cash Boyhood Home, they're all maintained by donations. Is that how it's done?
We charge admissions for our tour.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. Our gift shop. We are owned by the university, Arkansas State University, but primarily we depend on donations. Mm-hmm. For instance, right now, we're wanting the barn. The only thing missing at the house, we've got the smokehouse, chicken coop, outhouse. The only thing missing is the barn. So, we're trying to raise funds for that along with just normal wear and tear, if anybody wants to look up Dice Colony, we have a Facebook page. We also have a website, which is under construction. So forgive me because it may not look perfect right now.
Sure.
It's DYESS cash.astate.edu. We have an Instagram at Dice Cash, or if anybody would like to schedule a visit, email address is Dice Colony@gmail.com. I will tell you, we have a place on our website where folks can purchase tickets online. They can purchase from the gift shop, or we have a tab for support. So if anybody is interested in sending a donation, they can click on support, go to the website, donate online, on other, just put in for Johnny Cash Boyhood Home, and it's, you know, pretty simple. So
yeah, very good. I want to encourage my listenership to look into that, because, you know, when you think of Johnny Cash running around, you know, as he were as a youngster in this rural southern town, causing havoc like most kids do, you know, I think that's where he learned his lessons about life and philosophy. It was his inspiration in music. It was simple yet profound.
Sure.
Different genres. We're talking about folk, blues, country. Mm-hmm. So it's some really great stuff. I love the song. I don't know if you have a favorite song, but I do. I love the Ring of Fire. I like that song a whole lot. In fact, I think I'm going to be learning that on my guitar.
Oh, that's great.
You bet.
I tell you, there's one of his songs, 5 Feet High and Rising.
Oh, yeah.
That is based on the 1937 flood here in Dice. So, you know, that and Pick and Time, that was based on here as well. So,
well, that's great.
You can just hear the influence from Dice in his music.
Absolutely. No question about that. So let me ask you this last question, Penny. What are your thoughts of preserving this historic landmark for future generations? What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, well, I just think it's vital. We get people of all ages, all nationalities. We have people from 66 countries and counting. And, you know, it's just, it's so important to me and the folks who work here to really tell the story. You know, we learn from our past.
Yes.
And, you know, most of them have no idea about how this place even came about. You know, and just the story of Johnny Cash alone, when we have a group of kids come in, you know, they see where he grew up. We tell them about his life and, you know, his losses. And to think, you know, that they see he came from little to nothing and ended up, you know, one of the most famous musicians that there was. So, you know, and he stayed humble. He always cared. He came back here. He performed. He never forgot where he came from. So I think that's so important. You know, one of our goals as the heritage sites is to really broaden our educational outreach programs. And so I think, especially with everything that's going on in the world, it's important to, you know, to educate our kids on on the history of
I think it's a testament to the human spirit, you know, that decade of the 30s was just so many things happening from different levels, all kinds of different levels. And but I can relate to that. And of course, we have to look back to be able to look forward, you know,
that's right.
And that's what it's all about. And Penny, you've been a very delight to have on the show today. And by the way, never lose that accent, okay?
You know,
do me that favor. Never lose that accent. Love that accent.
I forget about it until, like, if I listen to this back, yeah. I was like, oh my goodness.
No, that's just great. You make sure to keep that. So I thank you for coming on your lot and parcel, and I wish you the very best, Penny.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Hey, listeners, if you have a recommendation for a show, or you have a question or a comment, or just want to say hello, drop me a note at yourlotandparcel.org. And now, if you would excuse me.
This program has been produced by Isaac Diaz with music by Echo Foxtown. All the opinions expressed in this podcast are opinions only and should not be relied on. For more information, please visit the website yourlotandparcel.com.